Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've done nothing!
Here's Nate.
Alrighty, back in 2018. The first show we record in 2018, not the first show of 2018.
We made it.
You can talk, Jason. There we go.
We made it.
We did. We made it through Christmas and New Year's, and I made it through pneumonia. And bless you.
Thank you.
All sorts of other stuff. So many people sick.
Yeah, I was sick last week also.
That's good we weren't here.
Yeah.
It's the last thing you need. I was sick for the entirety of December, really.
Well, that sucks, asshole.
And basically, finally, I was like, you know what? This is not getting any better. And I'd been to the doctor earlier in the month for something else. And again, you know, it'll pass. You don't want to overprescribe antibiotics. But, let me turn that down. So I'm fine with gutting it out and dealing with it.
Yeah.
But after like 3.5 weeks of just coughing stuff up all the time, it was like, all right, I'm going in. I got a Z-Pak the Thursday or Friday before Christmas. So 5 days of intense antibiotics. I got, and she says, do you want an inhaler too? And my response was, I just want to knock this out of my lungs. Mm-hmm. Whatever it has to be, give that to me. So I got an inhaler. I believe the same one you use all the time.
Yeah.
So it's good times. That's actually what finally helped clear everything up, because it opened up my airways enough that I wasn't getting the irritation, so I wasn't coughing all the time.
Yeah.
And then the antibiotics knocked it out. But crazy.
Yeah, that's what happens to me pretty much any time I get a cold or like a flu, like flu deathly ill, mm-hmm. but a cold, it always turns into an upper respiratory or bronchitis or pneumonia, or, you know, I mean, I get in just.
I'm just glad you're still with us, because pneumonia is taking some people out.
Right now, it's.
Pneumonia has, not pneumonia, but the flu since October has killed 27 people in California under the age of 65.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not counting the oldsters who got it and died.
You know, Kevin Randleman, he was one of the, a big UFC fighter. Well, actually, he was a Pride fighter.
Okay.
He died probably like 3 years ago from pneumonia.
Pneumonia, it'll get you. The flu will get you.
Yeah.
The boogeyman will get you.
I'm more worried about the pneumonia than I am the flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My first time with pneumonia, so.
Well, the flu, the thing that about the flu, and this is why pneumonia is like completely related to the flu,
mm-hmm.
is because the flu is a lung infection in the first place. Like, it, you know, it affects other things, but really more than anything else, it's an inflammation mm-hmm. of the lungs. So that's why pneumonia comes along with it when you get sick, like untreated flu. Yeah, sorry. That's why I have to get a flu shot every year.
I got a flu shot. Here's the
10%.
Thing. 10% effective this year. They know because they have Australia to look at, because they are the canary in the mine shaft.
Yeah.
And basically year to year, they're just guessing as to what the flu strain is going to be. And there's dozens of choices and.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, there's dozens of choices, but out of hundreds of thousands. So, like, they've narrowed it down
right.
to make a good shot at it. So that's why it's good to still get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt you to get the flu shot.
Yeah.
I've had it once since I've been out of the military.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the flu shot this year. I don't think it helped or hurt in this case.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the flu to start with, but I never had a fever. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't
Shit
know.
Gets
I just
crazy.
I just know I'm.
You're okay.
I'm fine. I'm at about 90% now.
Good.
About 90%. So, the new year started. The new everything going on. Well, we're not at war with North Korea yet. I don't know about you guys, but I find myself looking forward with both anticipation and dread at Donald Trump's State of the Union address coming up later this month.
Oh wow!
I just found my. Right?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he's going to have to stand in front of a joint session of Congress and the American people and deliver a State of the Union address. Or maybe he'll just say, fuck you, and tweet it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Wow. Twitter will be on fire.
Well, not with him, because he'll be doing the speech.
No, well, everybody tweeting about as the speech goes on.
Well, the good thing for us is we moved our recording night to Monday, so you'll be able to watch it live and enjoy the State of the Union.
Wow.
Jason, are you ready?
I kind of had the same realization that Kareem did. I think I was just like, wow, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's... here's the thing is, like, probably more people will listen to it than ever before, and, like, hopefully
He's great for ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like George Bush,
I know, right? You can't believe you're saying it, right?
Yeah.
My boss is saying it today. Like,
you make George Bush look like a genius.
Like a saint.
Saint, yeah. Or a competent person. That's scary.
Well,
yeah.
Here we are. Here we are, and there are still millions of people who will defend everything that Donald Trump does and says, which is the more baffling thing to me than really anything else in this whole situation. I mean, okay, you elected him, but now how do you sit there and go, okay, I mean, Lindsey Graham came out and
I keep telling y'all what the game plan is for the Republicans. As long as he's useful, he's good.
That's Putin's plan for him too.
Yeah, and as soon as they get all the shit that they want from him, they're gonna dump him. As long as he plays, as long as he keeps signing their bills,
right? He's the scapegoat.
So once shit goes left, or once he's out of office and everything, people start to see the effects of all of the stuff that's being signed. Then he'll be the person that the Republican Party blames it on.
Well, the midterms are coming up later this year, and
the same way right now, they're using Steve Bannon is their scapegoat right now.
Sure.
Because now they can put all of the dark, dirty shit that's the Republican Party, they can put all of that on Steve Bannon. So all of the racism and homophobia and all of that, they can say, oh, that was Steve Bannon. That wasn't really Donald Trump. Yeah.
Either way, maybe electing a celebrity president was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And on that, I don't know if you guys watched the Golden Globes.
No.
In 1982, Sidney received the Cecil B. DeMille Award right here at the Golden Globes. And it is not lost on me that at this moment, there are some little girls watching as I become the first black woman to be given the same award.
Oprah was awarded the Cecil B. DeMille Award last night, and she made a really nice, impassioned speech, as you would expect Oprah to do.
Yes.
It is an honor, and it is a privilege to share the evening with all of them, and also with the incredible men and women who've inspired me, who've challenged me, who've sustained me, and made my journey to this stage possible. Because we all know that the press is under siege these days. But we also know that it is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice.
Remember, Oprah started as a journalist.
Tyrants and victims and secrets and lies. I want to say that I value the press more than ever before as we try to navigate these complicated times, which brings me to this. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. And I'm especially proud and inspired by all the women who have felt strong enough and empowered enough to speak up and share their personal stories. Each of us in this room are celebrated because of the stories that we tell. And this year, we became the story. But it's not just a story affecting the entertainment industry. It's one that transcends any culture, geography, race, religion, politics, or workplace. So I want tonight to express gratitude to all the women who have endured years of abuse and assault because they, like my mother, had children to feed and bills to pay and dreams to pursue. They're the women whose names we'll never know. They are domestic workers and farm workers. They are working in factories, and they work in restaurants, and they're in academia and engineering and medicine and science. They're part of the world of tech and politics and business. There are athletes in the Olympics, and there are soldiers in the military. It was somewhere in Rosa Parks' heart almost 11 years later when she made the decision to stay seated on that bus in Montgomery. And it's here with every woman who chooses to say, me too. And every man who chooses to listen.
So she's not talking about you, Kareem. Now there were a lot of bits cut out of that speech. There was a setup of things that went into that, which was the reference to Rosa Parks that was sort of left out.
And that was what I was just about to point out. I find it mighty white. TMZ.
Right, to edit that out.
To edit that part out.
Because I haven't watched this. I haven't watched this whole clip. It's almost 5 minutes long. So I'm like, well, this is enough of the whole speech. They probably just cut out the applause breaks. There was a lot of applause breaks.
Right. So, once before, we were having a conversation about race on the show. Mm-hmm. When Christiana was still here.
Sure.
And I brought two books to the show. And you guys were like, we're not fucking with those. One of those books was called The Dark End of the Street, and it's a book by a white professor about the black women in the civil rights movement who were left out. And one of those people was a woman named Recy Taylor, and I've talked about her before.
Mm-hmm. I believe Oprah mentioned her.
And Oprah mentioned her because she died 12 days ago.
Correct.
I've been talking about this lady since the book came out.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady was raped by 6 white men. On her way to church. I think she was on
her way home from church.
She's walking down the street. They grabbed her off the side of the road, took her in the woods, raped her, and then dropped her off in the same spot that they picked her up on. The only justice she got was that the cops made them pay some money for what they did to her. That's our policy in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
We do something bad. Somebody comes around with
Here's some money.
That's what they did to her. That was a part of the speech that TMZ cut out.
Yeah, and it was really an important part, too, because it set up the whole come around to Rosa Parks.
Right.
Well, yeah,
which is the reason why I've said the things that I've said about white women on the show in the last month or so and the whole Me Too thing is because what you just did was you just cut out the face of black women in that spot, in that speech. And not only that, I was kind of pissed off about all of the actresses who brought black women as arm candy last night, who originally left them out of the Me Too conversation in the first place.
Look, that lady was the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Not that lady. The lady who actually started the Me Too Michelle Williams brought with her, and then when she was interviewed by E, couldn't really explain who the fuck the lady was.
Right. I didn't watch the pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of it, but I saw enough of it to see that Michelle Williams really. So they brought black women or minority women with them because they were getting shit about leaving minority women out of the whole Me Too thing. So. Back to what I said before, fuck y'all.
All right, so Oprah continues.
In my career, what I've always tried my best to do, whether on television or through film, is to say something about how men and women really behave, to say how we experience shame, how we love and how we rage, how we fail, how we retreat, persevere, and how we overcome. I've interviewed and portrayed people who've withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you. But the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say me too again.
Again, not talking about Kareem there.
Actually, she was talking about me.
No. You're saying fuck all y'all to this whole thing. You're not one of the men who's standing up and saying and fighting that. You have a very different message.
I'm not one of those men, but I'm one of those people who has survived enough to endure.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you fucking with shit now?
Because it's going out of my ears.
Jason's leaning in and playing with his headphones. That's all.
Jason's trying to interrupt my moment.
Yeah,
no, I'm not. I'm trying to make sure I can hear it.
Mighty white of you. This is what you do. I always want to interrupt a black man's moment. I thought she was supposed to be an ally. See how your allies act.
Oh my goodness.
No, but I'm one of those people who've endured and still can see the positive. People who've actually really been through shit are like the most happiest people in the world because they already know that they can survive anything.
Yeah, they're not going through it anymore.
Yeah, you're not going through it anymore. But the other part of that is you know that you've seen. Like, you've seen real shit, and you're like, okay, I can survive that. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're not making mountains out of molehills.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, my whole point in playing the Oprah speech is just this. Don't think about electing Oprah president. She is no more qualified for the job than the baboon doing it now.
I love Oprah as much as any straight black man can. I am not voting for Oprah.
No. I saw a lot of Oprah for president. I saw a lot of it. I put a picture out on Facebook last night. It was a shooting star across the top, and I just wrote Oprah.
Yes.
Because last night, Oprah was a fucking comet.
Yes.
Going across the sky, blazing a trail. That was a fucking amazing speech, and I encourage everybody to go back, if you missed it, to watch it in its entirety, because it was powerful, powerful stuff.
It was amazing.
It was.
Now, I would say that if for the next 10 years, she works her way through local governments, whether it's fixing things in Chicago, working then towards her state, and then going to a federal level and trying to be president in 12 years.
Literally any job in any government anywhere. Not starting out in the top job.
Right.
If Oprah ran for Congress, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
If Oprah ran for Senate, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. The job itself is already a OJT. It's a job that you learn on the job.
Yeah.
You need to have a basic understanding of what the fuck is going on.
Of civics.
Of civics, yeah. You need to have, President Obama was a constitutional law professor.
Yeah.
He still had to learn shit as he went along.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I love Oprah as much as any straight black man can, but no.
Yeah.
I have all the respect in the world for Oprah. No, 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 no,
no,
no. No.
But
anything's better than this, man.
Stop
no.
it. That is not the bar.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, no,
and if you want to get him reelected again in 2020,
Run Oprah.
Run Oprah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Run Oprah. I just saw a sideline here on TMZ that says President Trump mostly cheered at national championship, which is being held in Atlanta. So thanks, Georgia. You're a peach.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, not everybody had the greatest Christmas, because while waiting to be booked for causing a disturbance on Christmas Day, 25-year-old Connecticut resident Nicole Hunter removed some cocaine from her pocket and attempted to snort the drug inside the local police department. That's what the cops are alleging anyway. She was collared after the Ledyard police received reports of a reckless driver behind the wheel of a Kia SUV. After cops located the suspect vehicle in Hunter's driveway, she allegedly became belligerent and charged at officers, resulting in her arrest. After being transported to the police headquarters, Hunter, who was waiting to be searched, removed a bindle of cocaine from her pocket and sought to snort the white powder. Her attempt was unsuccessful. She's charged with narcotics possession, disorderly conduct, and interfering with police officers. She's free on bond, scheduled for a court appearance.
That is white privilege. How the fuck did you get... Wait. Who gets arrested and doesn't get searched when they get arrested?
Well, you get searched for weapons. And here's the thing. If it's male,
yeah,
officers, they're only going to do a cursory search for weapons. They're not going to do the full body cavity search.
They go check your pockets.
You would think. Not for a bindle of cocaine. I don't know, how big is a bindle of cocaine, Jason?
About the size of your thumb.
Oh,
that's in your pocket.
That's a fair bit of cocaine. Yeah.
Or it could have been even smaller, that maybe like around the size of your pinky. But I mean, I don't think that they're usually much different than that. At least from what I've seen on like Narcos and stuff like that.
Hey, they have strip searched black women on the side of the road with people driving by. You telling me that you got cocaine?
Yeah, no. I definitely think that there's some white privilege.
You got cocaine in the police station.
Right.
Not that they arrested you outside of the police station. They arrested you at your house, and you got to the police station, you got in the car, you got put in a car, and you got inside the police station with cocaine. Where does that happen at?
Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Here's the thing. If you know you got cocaine in your pocket, why are you charging at the cops?
Because, yeah.
I'm not arguing that this is white privilege, but this is totally ridiculous. All right. So we've all had a bad date here and there, right? You can't go through life without it.
Yes, I had a chick once try to hide me in her closet because she thought her boyfriend was outside.
Oh.
I didn't even know she had a boyfriend. We've been seeing each other for 3 months.
Wow, that is a bad date. Well, a man in Houston had probably a worse date.
Oh, yeah.
Prominent Houston attorney Tony Busby ends with an arrest.
Prosecutors say this woman got drunk and damaged some very expensive art in Busby's River Oaks mansion. Marcelino Benitez joins us with what police say happened in this. Marcelino?
Well, guys, early reports were that this woman was arrested at a party thrown by high-profile attorney Tony Busby. Now that her court appearance has been released on video, we know that this was no party, but according to police, a first date that went very, very wrong. When Tony Busby left his River Oaks mansion on a first date on December 23rd, he likely never expected his date's night to end like this. This is Lindy Lou Lehman, a freelance court reporter from Dallas, arrested before Christmas and charged with criminal mischief. She appeared before a judge on Christmas Eve, and prosecutors detailed how that first date spiraled out of control.
She became heavily intoxicated. They returned to his home. He believed she was too intoxicated and decided he wanted her to leave. He called for an Uber driver. She refused to leave the location. Hid somewhere in his home.
Prosecutors say Busby then found her and called her another Uber to leave his home. She walked out, became aggressive, and then trashed his place.
She walked back into his home, began shouting, "I'm not leaving," along with obscenities, while damaging three of his paintings and two of his sculptures. Stated that she poured red wine on the paintings and ripped them off the wall with her hands, and threw both sculptures on the ground with her hands shattering them.
One of the paintings we've learned was an Andy Warhol original. Prosecutors say the three paintings were valued at $500,000 each. Statues worth about $20,000 each. You do the math, That's more than $1.5 million worth of damage. Her attorney...
Okay, I don't have to do the math if you just told me what it was.
Because it was her first arrest.
She assures me that she can either fly or drive here for any court dates. As I said, she does have a good job, a stable job, Your Honor. She's been doing it for 9 years. She makes okay money, Your Honor, and so she assures the court that she would be able to return to court whenever needed.
Now, Layman is out on bond tonight and due back in court tomorrow morning. We reached out to Busby tonight. He told us he does not know the woman, and he isn't commenting any further. Guys, I can also tell you I reached out to Layman, and she's not saying anything either.
He doesn't know her.
He says he doesn't know her.
But it did happen at his house.
It did happen at his house. You do the math there.
Okay.
By the way, the anchor who glommed on to that same fact that I did says he doesn't know her, gave him the side eye. Black anchor.
Does he know?
He doesn't know her. horse shit.
She looked like a hooker.
She's a very blonde lady. I will say that.
She looks like a hooker or a stripper or both.
Well, now a freelance court reporter. Whatever that means. Also in Houston, a gentleman decided that now was a good time to invoke the power of prayer.
On camera, pleading for his release after store employees lock him inside.
And that man will remain behind bars for at least 5 years. Jason Miles is live inside the store to show us how it all went down. Hey, Jason.
Hey there, this guy did everything he could to try and get out. He even shot this door at least 4 times. Take a look. You can see the hole still right here.
This video, just released by HPD, shows John Bell prayerfully pleading to be freed from a cell phone store police say he had just tried to rob.
Sorry, please.
The video is 9 months old, but quickly became our most viewed digital story of the day.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I guess at the time it was potentially scary.
It was very scary.
Latino cellular store owner Bassett Beyond's wife was inside at the time, along with an employee and that customer you see with her baby.
It's called Latino Cell.
That's hilarious.
There's so much about this story that's great. Let's continue.
Bell walks in and demands to be led into the back office.
He actually robbed us 2 weeks prior to that.
But not this time. Mian's wife ushers everyone out as Bell is distracted. The employee quickly locks the door. You can hear it click. Bell's desperate attempt to get out then begins.
That's him shooting the door.
Yeah.
4 gunshots point blank at the lock, which does not give.
And the funny thing is, the keys were right there.
You can see when Bell finally figures that out, hurriedly running back to the door.
He grabbed the keys and tried to open the lock, but he damaged the lock already with the bullets.
That's when Bell turns to begging.
Please, please, please.
But the door only opens.
On the ground! On the ground!
When police arrive to arrest him. This is Bell's most recent mugshot. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison after years in and out of jail.
He needs to learn that lesson, and hopefully this will prevent him from doing this again, but I don't know.
Right behind the guy talking, they have a sign on the counter that says, Latino Deals.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Like, look, when it said that he started praying, I already knew he was black.
Right. Well, he was really praying, just let me go.
Yeah, he was praying. He was like, God damn it, my mama gonna know. My mama told me the next time I go to jail, I'm on my own.
Well, he's gonna be there a while too. 5 years. Wow.
That's what he was praying for. She said, I am not bailing you out no more.
And how dumb is this fucker going back to the same cell phone store? So they walk in, they go, oh, this is the fucker that robbed us a few months ago.
Yeah.
Everybody out, I'm locking his ass in here. Man. Dipshit.
Well, especially because there's probably an emergency door in the back, you know, right?
Oh,
they went out the front door.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying in the back, there's probably an emergency door that you can press open.
Maybe. And who knows?
Who knows?
Never know at Latino Cellular.
Let's say.
Yeah, if you've been to one, you've been to them all.
All right, it's time for the first edition of Cooler Tool for 2018. And first up in Cooler Tool, Connecticut, Jason.
Tool.
Kareem.
It was 19 degrees. It's Tool.
Yeah, Connecticut, the tooliest of the New England states. Say that. Up next in Cooler Tool, expensive art. Kareem.
I own some semi-expensive art, so I'm going to say cool.
Jason.
Cool.
Expensive art on display in your home is just ostentatious dickery.
That I will agree with you.
So, Tool. And finally, this is going to be a tough one. Asking Jesus for help. Jason?
Well, here's the thing about asking Jesus for help. Is that he's going to give it to you, whether you like it or not. So, I mean, it's cool. You just have to know what you're asking for.
Kareem?
I'm going to say Tool, because I think that's what the problem is with our society now, is that everybody's been told that you can just do all the shit that you want to, and you just can ask Jesus to forgive you, and it all goes away.
Right. Well, and it is Tool, but here's the rub on it. Growing up Catholic, you had to go to confession, confess your sins, and then your sins would be forgiven. But there was more to it than that, because you had to perform a penance. You had to do something. The priest would give you a task. Say the rosary. Say 10 Hail Marys. Do this, do this, do this, and then your sins will be forgiven.
Yeah, they don't do that in the black church.
And that's why the black community is in the state it's in, Kareem.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, in the Catholic Church, if you want the absolution for your sins, you have to perform those penances. Yeah. That's the give and take of the situation.
Unless you can afford a sin eater. And then
is that some East Indian fella?
No,
sin eater.
No, that was actually what happened. That's one of the reasons. Like there was so many like rebellions, and like
you could start to
pay somebody to eat your sins in the Middle Ages.
Middle Ages, yeah,
yeah, and that was what caused it. So like the Catholic, yeah. That's what like a huge upheaval happened because like the they're like, hold on a second, wait, you can just pay,
yeah,
and get your sins. Like you don't have to say all this shit and do all this shit. Man, fuck that. Like yeah. That was so.
You could pay it. I can't remember what it was called.
It's a sin eater. You look it up. It's a sin eater. That's what it's called. That was.
Still sounds like an East Indian guy to me.
Possibly was.
And that's gonna do it for Cooler Tool. Hey, if you want to be cool, do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show, and it does not cost you anything extra. So please go ahead and do that. The next time you need to pick something up. I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with Amazon, though, so let me pot down the music. And they've always done this a little bit where they will have something and they will ship it to – they'll tell you, oh, it's going to arrive. And this is before the days of Prime. And they're like, oh, it'll be there in 7 days. And you're like, all right. But it doesn't ship for 5.
Yeah.
I ordered something – Prime, mind you, a Prime item. So it should arrive in 2 days. I ordered it on a Monday. It said it would arrive on a Friday, which is more than 2 days. Do you know when it shipped?
Sunday.
It shipped on Thursday to arrive on Friday, which means it was most likely sitting in a warehouse in Sacramento.
Yeah,
you bad, sons of bitches. Still, I got a hell of a deal. I'm just going to tell you, it was totally worth it. It's not the end of the world, but, you know, when
you're expecting to get something on Friday so you can play with it all weekend.
Well, no. It came on Friday.
Oh.
Remember, I have Prime, which is free 2-day shipping.
Right.
Okay. I order it on Monday.
Okay, all right.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. That's 4 days.
Yeah, okay.
But it didn't ship until Thursday, and it arrived 1 day later.
I see what you're saying.
So, ship your shit out.
Stop sitting on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
Oh, shit. You popped his knuckles. He's getting ready to get Alex Jones on you, Amazon.
Oh, hold up. Well, you know what? I really should have done this. Listen, Amazon. Have your robot roll down the aisle, throw my shit in a little basket, roll it out, send it out, and get it to me. I pay for Prime. Send me my shit. Don't make me wait 4 days for Prime. Prime is 2-day shipping.
That's right, man.
Free 2-day shipping. By the way, if it arrives in 1 day, I'm not going to complain. I'm not. And I understand, if I order it on Monday, maybe you don't get to sending it out on Tuesday. But there's no fucking way it should take you till Thursday.
Exactly.
Motherfuckers.
He's coming to collect.
So if you think I'm just a shill for Amazon, uh-uh. I will point out their bullshit. And that's one of their bullshit points. If I'm fucking paying for Amazon Prime, I want you to put the goddamn thing in the mail and get it to me. Right?
That's right.
Man, for real though.
And now they've got this bullshit thing where, oh, if you're not in a hurry, you can go ahead and click this thing and you'll get like 10% off of this or a dollar credit for this or whatever. And by the way, if I would have done that shit, you know what I would have gotten it?
Next
on
week?
Fucking Friday. I would have gotten the goddamn thing the same fucking day. Motherfuckers, they tell you it's next week.
That is funny.
All right.
Oh man.
It was not an official airing of the grievances. That just came over me. I'm sorry. Right.
So he got his butt beat by the game. I don't know if you ever heard of the game. He's
I've heard of the game.
Yeah, he
couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
He whooped that guy's ass.
Although I'm sure he's been in several.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because well, He's black and everybody's racist.
He has L.A. tattooed on his face. He does not give a fuck.
He has chosen his career path.
Yeah.
All right. So this is not on your list, gentlemen. This is something that I happened upon while reading another story. An Ohio man was recorded pummeling a woman during a 3 a.m. melee at Waffle House. He's on the lam as cops seek to arrest him for an assault complaint. During a wild December 26 brawl at the Waffle House in Lima, Ohio, DeCorian Dawson, who's 26, landed a series of haymakers on Amelia Up the Grove.
What?
Who was also thrown to the eatery's floor by Dawson. In a court affidavit, Up the Grove, that's her name, said that Dawson, quote, started punching me and threw me on the ground and started hitting me again. She said when she stood up, he continued punching me and threw me against the window. Of course, someone recorded video of it. Didn't step in to help.
Man, fuck that person.
Well, yeah, it's true. It happens a lot. This case comes less than 2 months after Dawson was charged with two felony counts of aggravated robbery with a firearm. His rap sheet includes prior arrests for marijuana possession. See, I told you, Jason, that leads to everything bad. Carrying a concealed weapon, public intoxication, and underage driving. Underage driving.
Okay.
So, there you go. If you want to hear what the melee sounded like this.
Nigga, get your ID, all that shit.
Man, go, man, go, man.
It looks exactly what it sounds like, too. Absolutely no difference.
Were those guys telling him to get his stuff and leave?
All I heard was the N-word. I thought I was listening to Chappelle again. I don't know. There was a lot of pushing and shoving. It was a large group of people.
Yeah. It sounded like...
I sent you guys the link so you can watch it. Here's the thing. I do not blame the person for recording it because after looking at the video, there's about 15 people in the middle of that melee. And, I wouldn't want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I had seen this video before.
It's not coming up on my phone.
Oh, is it because you have an Android? Is your Android not work, Jason?
It looked like it was a group of girls fighting. And
yeah.
Well, there was he was in there.
You know, yeah, no, I'm no, saying, but it looked like it was a group of girls, and then
A guy stepped in and started really whacking on a girl.
It looked like there were like five girls on one girl, and then he grabbed the chick out. He grabbed somebody off of that pile.
Never get in the middle of a chick fight.
That's what it looks like.
Never get in the middle of a chick fight. Hey, we talked about this before the end of the year, and it turns out the Cleveland Browns became just the second team ever to finish the NFL season 0-16, and they did hold their perfect parade in Cleveland. So congratulations to the city of Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, and the fan who had the foresight to get a parade permit.
Moneyball does not work in football.
Money football?
Moneyball does not work in football.
Not enough stats.
I mean, not enough stats. It just doesn't work in football.
Well, let me put this up for you guys to see, since it's just going to be music and nothing else. It was a parade complete with floats. With signs that say, "We deserve better." bunch of gravestones with names of old quarterbacks.
Yeah.
0-16, we drink through it.
Yeah. Moneyball does not work in football. Anytime you want to bring somebody who's a non-football person into football, remember this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, is that who's controlling them right now? Is the guy that did all the Moneyball stuff?
No, that's who was controlling them. That's who got fired. He's the reason why they done passed up on six quarterbacks in the last 2 years that are now pretty good quarterbacks.
So yeah.
Saturday president.
Hold on, Jake Tapper. We'll get to you in a second.
And when I was saying like stats, I was meaning like the historical stat. Like they have stats on like baseball since like 1890. You know what I mean? Like they have stats on like strikes and hits and stuff like that.
It's a different game. You know, there are too many moving parts in football to bet on it. I mean, to do money. To do players the way you do in baseball.
Well, and you also have a salary cap and a lot of other things that go into it that it's just more complicated. The roster is bigger. Players are only playing offense or defense.
Yeah.
So it's just a more complicated thing, and it doesn't necessarily. Now, a version of it might work in football, but it would have to be designed from the ground up for football.
Yeah. And he just, yeah, they passed on too many. So, football, is your quarterback is half your game.
Yeah.
So.
Look at the 49ers.
Look, yeah. Yeah. Your quarterback is half the game.
Right.
So, you passed on six, not great quarterbacks, but six potential quarterbacks with potential to get extra draft picks. And you didn't even use the extra draft picks you got to get quality players. You just got a whole lot of players. So he drafted like four receivers like one season, hoping that one of the four would pan out.
But he didn't have anybody throwing it to him. So like, how are you going to figure out?
Right.
You can catch.
So Deshaun Watson, they had the Deshaun Watson pick. He went to the Texans and balled out.
Until he blew his knee out.
But,
That's a suck, man. Like, go from being on the Browns to being on a team where you're making plays and, like, you actually can do some work, and then, bam, it's over.
Joe Hayden plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers now. He's been in the league for 7 years. This is the first year he's made it to the postseason.
Yeah.
Because they cut him. They just cut him at the beginning of the season, or right before the season started, for no reason.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
He got away from that perfect season,
right?
Yeah,
he totally did. Yeah. They might have won the one game with him.
Yeah,
it's crazy. The NFL is very weird. Obviously the quarterback's most important. In San Francisco, they got Jimmy Garoppolo. They ended up winning the last.
Did you say Janine Garoppolo?
No, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G.
June G.
Yeah.
Jimmy G.
Yeah. All right.
They ended up winning the last five games.
Yeah, they finished 6-10. And they were 0-9.
Yeah.
So they finally found a good quarterback.
They found a quarterback.
So next year. Is that what the Niners fans are saying next year?
Very excited going into next year.
Yeah.
Very excited. The Raiders fans are very excited going into this year too, and that didn't work out.
And it's not going to work out next year either.
So they fired their coach who was great last year, but not this year. And, well, basically, so the show drops on Wednesday. Yesterday, they announced they've signed John Gruden to be their new head coach and apparently part owner of the team.
He did not get the ownership part, but okay. He got a 10-year, $100 million contract.
Good for him.
The Raiders have officially replaced the Cleveland Browns as the worst ownership in football.
Well, we'll see. Not if he wins 3 Super Bowls in the next 10 years.
He's not winning 3.
He's got a quarterback. Derek Carr's good.
3 Super Bowls.
We'll see.
He was a 500 coach outside of Oakland.
Listen, he won a Super Bowl outside of Oakland.
He won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team.
And
when he got time to put his own team together in Tampa Bay, he shit the bed.
Would it? So he didn't put together the winning Raiders team that got to the...
Al Davis.
Handpicked that crew.
Al Davis.
He was the coach, not the GM.
He was the coach, not the GM. Al Davis put that team together. When he went to Tampa Bay, he got say in who they were going to pick. He shit the bed. He won with a team that Tony Dungy got to the NFC Championship the year before against a team that he knew all their plays.
Yeah.
And then went shit again after that.
Wow. I know that if I was a Raiders fan, I'd probably be upset. Because like.
Dude, if you're a Raiders fan, they're moving to Vegas after next year. You should be upset. Unless you're in Vegas.
No, my cousin who's a Raiders fan is excited about them going to Vegas. He's like, I have a reason now to go to Vegas.
Well, that's the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard.
And a lot of the dumbass Raiders. Look, they're Raider fans.
Yeah.
They're dumb enough to think that
talking
this guy.
About my family now.
Fair point.
They're dumb enough to think that this guy is going to win a Super Bowl.
No. There are Raiders fans, and then there's Raider fan.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, my mother-in-law is a Bills fan. We were watching that game.
Gotta be a sad day.
It was.
Oh my God. Was that the worst NFL playoff game in the history of NFL playoff games?
Wow.
It was the only game I've watched all year.
Dude.
I don't need to watch it. I don't want to watch another game.
The owner of the Portland Timbers soccer team tweeted, on Sunday at halftime, that 9 out of 10 nil-nil soccer games were more excited than the first half of the Bills-Jaguars.
Yeah. So
when the owner of a Major League Soccer team is talking about how fucking boring you are,
yes,
to make his point, and he's right. I've seen some nothing soccer games that are exciting.
And the really shitty thing about those two playoff that was, well, the Saints Panthers game was a good game. It was a more exciting game. But the thing that sucked was the two quarterbacks that should have won didn't win because their receivers couldn't catch the fucking ball.
That's always a bummer. Always a bummer. But, we move forward to another. One more week until we can officially ordain a Steelers-Patriots AFC championship game.
Because if Blake Bortles throws for 78 yards next week, it's going to be a ass whooping.
It's going to be a bad time. It's going to be a very bad time.
These were very bad times.
Very bad times. Hey, you know what? Bad times. Jake Tapper, because he has to sit and talk to assholes like White House senior advisor Stephen Miller. And he had enough of it on Sunday on CNN, so he just cut it off.
On this issue of fitness, and he said, quote, actually throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being like really smart. Crooked Hillary Clinton also played these cards very hard, and as everyone knows, went down in flames. I went from very successful businessman to top TV star to president of the United States on my first try. I think that would qualify as not smart, but genius, and a very stable genius at that. Do you think tweets like that help or hurt the cause that the president is stable and up for the job?
Not only do I think they help it, but I think in the toxic environment that you've created here in CNN and cable news, which is a real crisis of legitimacy for your network, And we saw it, of course, with the extremely fake news you reported about the Don Jr. and WikiLeaks story. There was a huge embarrassment for your network.
Stephen.
Just like the huge embarrassment you had when you got the Comey testimony wrong.
Stephen, I'm trying to get to the issue of the president's fitness, which a lot of people
are. Well, I'm getting to the issue of your fitness. But the president's tweets absolutely reaffirmed the plain spoken truth. A self-made billionaire revolutionized reality TV.
Not self-made. His father handed him a pile of money.
Exactly.
That is not self-made. And here's what you do when you don't have a good answer to the question. You lie, and then you attack the person who asked you the question, which is what's happening here.
And tap into something magical that's happening in the hearts of this country. The people that you
don't... The president has approval rating in the 30s. I don't know what magical you're talking about.
The people that you don't connect with and understand, the people whose manufacturing jobs have left, who've been besieged by high crime communities and who've been affected by a policy of uncontrolled immigration.
Wall Street Journal had an article this week saying that murder in all the major cities around the country is at an all-time low.
Right, but did you catch? I'm sure you did. Let me point out what he said and how he said it and who he's talking about. He's insinuating that you're not safe from black people because they're going to kill you, and the brown people that are immigrating are also dangerous to you.
Not the people that are on opioids.
Well, they did acknowledge that there is an opioid crisis. Let's see if we can back that up a little bit and hear exactly what he says again. Just listen carefully to what he says.
Understand the people whose manufacturing jobs have left, who've been besieged by high crime communities and who've been affected by a policy of uncontrolled immigration.
Besieged by high crime communities. You know the ghetto?
Black people are moving in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
What a racist piece of shit.
Those voices, those experiences don't get covered on this network. To prove the point, I was booked to talk about the very issues I'm just describing, and you're not even asking about them because they're not interesting facts to you.
That's not true. I have plenty of questions on immigration. You've attempted to filibuster by talking about your flights.
No,
with the president.
The reason why I want to talk about the president's experiences, what I've seen with him traveling to meet dozens of foreign leaders, with his incredible work.
Okay, you're not answering the questions.
No,
I understand.
You have 24 hours a day of anti-Trump material,
you're
not going to give 3 minutes for the American people
I
to
get
hear
it.
The real experience
of
Donald Trump.
There's one viewer that you care about right now, and you're being obsequious.
No,
you're being
which,
a factotum
no,
in order
being,
to please him, okay?
No.
And I think I've wasted enough of my viewers' time. As Republicans, lawmakers call for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign, in a major reversal, Democrats are now coming to his defense.
And that's it.
Oh, they had to have security remove him from the building.
Yes. But that was all there was. Yeah. By the way,
I watched that live. They ended up having to get security to remove him from the building,
man.
Jason. For real.
And the president tweeted, Jake Tapper of fake news CNN just got destroyed in his interview with Stephen Miller of the Trump administration. Watch the hatred and unfairness in this CNN flunky. The hatred and unfairness. You're not answering the question, Stephen, is all he said.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the hatred.
You're trying to filibuster. They're being obsequious.
He used obsequious.
Yeah, well, you got to use obsequious. It was important there. And none of the Trump supporters understood that. I shouldn't say that. That's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not at all fair.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right. A 23-year-old Florida man told police he punched an ATM in November because it gave him too much cash. Cocoa, Florida police charged Michael Joseph.
I love this man.
I don't want. Oh, God. No internet. You're killing me. You're killing me with your things. I didn't want to play the video, and it started without me. And of course, it played an ad for an Amazon Prime show. Let's skip that. I don't
you remember back in the day when like you had a computer and if you clicked on the wrong link, all of a sudden, like you could not shut down all the windows that would pop up.
Well, I have a pop-up blocker now that does that.
Right, but do you remember back in the day when that happened? You didn't have the pop-up blocker. That was,
dude, the best prank ever. So there used to be a website that was simply one page, and you couldn't click off of it. It was just a thing that flashed, and there was a voice that said, "Hey, everybody, I'm looking at gay porno."
Oh, man.
And you could not get off of it once you were on it. You had to control alt delete and shut down your browser. And I said, "You know, it would be a great prank." Because I'm not doing it to somebody.
Right.
If you went in and took that URL and made that someone's homepage, so as soon as they opened their browser, it immediately went to that.
Oh, that would be cool.
So, a rube who shall remain nameless did it to someone at work.
Oh,
by the way, you have to turn the speakers way up, too.
Oh, wow.
That would not be acceptable in 2018.
No, not. On a number of levels.
Right. You'd just be like, whoa. Why are you saying, there's nothing wrong with gay porno.
Yeah.
You do you.
You do you.
But HR has some questions about some things that they want to talk to you about. So, yeah, they're going to need to talk to you about your gay porno. Not because it's gay, but because it's porno. All right, back to Florida Corner. Cocoa, Florida police charged Michael Joseph Olesik of Merritt Island with criminal mischief nearly a month into the investigation of a disturbance at a Wells Fargo in Cocoa. Bank officials say the attack caused at least $5,000 in damages. Authorities say he can be seen on surveillance video standing at the ATM pummeling the electronic teller's touchscreen. A short time later, an apologetic Olesik called the bank and told the manager that he punched the ATM because he was angry the ATM was giving him too much money and he did not know what to do. He also said he was in a hurry for work and apologized for the damage. Sorry is not good enough. He was arrested and booked into the county jail complex. So there you go. Don't punch the ATM. If it gives you too much money, take it, put it in an envelope, bring it back to the bank later.
Exactly.
Problem solved. That's what you're going to do with it. Also in Florida, a man upset that he was served extremely small clams at a Florida seafood restaurant. He called 911 not once, Jason, twice.
Oh, that's awesome.
To complain. Nelson Augusto, a 51-year-old tow truck driver, was on his lunch break when he stopped into Krabby's Seafood Shack. And who hasn't stopped into Krabby's Seafood Shack? I mean, really. Because that's what you do on your lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he told the Smoking Gun that he had previously dined at Krabby's twice. Now, while his first meal was excellent, he said he thought the clams were small during his second visit. Now, since he was dying to eat some clams, that's a quote, by the way, he decided to give Krabby's another shot. But after paying $12 for a plate of clams, he asked for his money back when presented with an array of tiny clams that had, and I quote again, nothing in the shell. When his request for a refund was rebuffed, Augusto, who said he did not consume any of the raw clams, called 911. He told the police operator that he was calling for an officer because his order from Krabby's was, quote, extremely so small. The operator then cut him off and told him he had to call a non-emergency line. After being provided that number, he again called 911, which resulted in a misdemeanor charge being filed against the seafood fan. He's scheduled for a January 11th court appearance, said that he did not intend to misuse the emergency system, adding, quote, I didn't know the rules for 911.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what backwoods area did you grow up in where they don't tell you what 911? It's, like, ingrained in your head.
Well, first of all, I'll let that pass the first time you call 911. But after the operator tells you this isn't an emergency and you need to call the non-emergency number and gives it to you,
you don't call again.
You don't get the oh yeah, I didn't know what it was for. Oh yeah, sorry.
You know what? That sounds like a Jerky Boys like call. Maybe they've upped the ante. Maybe they've upped it to like, this is going to be like the Crimes and Misdemeanors CD, where they call emergency lines and do stupid shit because they had really small clams.
Oh, the clams were so, so small.
They were small clams. I just had a hankering for them. I just wanted some clams.
God. That's a terrible time.
Those are very terrible times.
Sir, you're going to have to call the non-emergency line.
You don't understand, though. They were small clams.
Sir, this is not an emergency.
No, you don't understand.
Non-emergency line is 555-1212.
No, but the clams.
You're going to have to. Bye, sir. Call the non-emergency line.
Thank you very much.
Get out of here. All right, let's wrap up the. Oh, hold on. It's already in the middle of that. Let's start this again.
Yes,
let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. They were busy speaking out in Plattsburgh, New York. Of course they were. It's cold there. The new mayor is the right person for the job. He tells it like it is willing to face the hard decisions, and has the knowledge necessary to deal with the position. People who don't see it are just blind, or they feel cheated in some unfair way. If you can't find a more fair or more knowledgeable person for the job, you can't find a more fair or more knowledgeable person for the job. By the way, it's up on the screen here, guys. You know,
oh, cool. Thank you.
Hey, maybe Hot Mike and the Mayor, that's such a great band name, could put out an album with singles like All Our Employees Are Lazy and I'm Sorry, I Didn't Check for Cameras. Clearly we're missing a story here. I'll have to dig into that.
Yeah.
City union employees are way overpaid for what they do, which has made the financial woes worse than they should be. Plattsburgh will continue to decline in quality, and taxes will have to climb to support the current trend in the union pay. It's past time to put on the brakes on all the raises and cut city staff as much as possible, said the person who doesn't make as much as the union guy works for the city.
True that.
Hey, to the uninformed person complaining about how overpaid teachers are, you have no clue. Educators are professionals, like doctors and lawyers. No, not really. With at least 6 years of college to attend and pay for. No, not necessarily. They pick up the pieces of dysfunctional families along with their prescribed duties of educating the citizens of tomorrow. Okay, if you're so jealous of what educators do and have, why don't you attend college for 6+ years and put in 14+ days educating, correcting, planning, and attending mandatory meetings and taking 3 months off every summer and getting 2 weeks off at Christmas holiday? Oh, and the entirety of Thanksgiving week off, and a week off in the middle of February, and another week off a couple of months later for spring break. Oh, I'm sorry.
You have no idea how much my mother-in-law is an ex-teacher.
Right.
My wife's brother and sister-in-law are both teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was a principal.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a 3 months thing, but it's more like a month and a half, 2 months.
Oh. He's still my beating.
But even.
It's only a month and a half, two months.
But then on the days of school, when there's school going on, there's actually, the days are usually like from 6 to 5 or 6. Like, it's not like they're 12 hour days, 5 days a week. So they do work 5 12-hour days. Plus they have to do all the extra stuff that happens on weekends sometimes and take work home at night. So there's a lot of other things that they have to do, aside from that. But I understand, what a lot of people's misconception could be, because you do get to see a lot of the time off. But I know that they don't have that much time off.
They get a lot of time off.
They don't get, especially when they have to make up the days that they miss in the wintertime because of all the fucking snow.
Kareem,
get from June to August off.
Yeah. Like half of June and then half of August. So don't make it seem like you get like
that's 2 months, motherfucker.
But and, that's that they don't get then, that they don't get that all off. They have to come in 2 weeks either on either side of that to prepare and get things, break things down and stuff like that.
Thanksgiving week, 2 weeks at Christmas, week in February, week in April. So that's another 6 weeks. I'm just saying they have a lot of time when they're not working.
But they also have, like the article says, 5 to 6 years of college, like training.
Not all of them.
No.
I know a lot of school teachers who have a 4-year degree.
Plus, then you have to get their...
You've got to get your certificate.
Which is another year of schooling where you don't get paid. So, not saying it's hard out there for them, but, I mean, it is.
Do you have a little violin up there?
Look, I think people are way too hard on teachers. But some people go way too far on the other side.
Yeah.
Some teachers are absolutely amazing, and they work in these districts where they are absolutely heroes. But there's a lot of them who are just people working a job.
Yeah.
And they don't work any harder than Kareem or I do every day. But Kareem and I don't get to take 2 months off in the summer and another 6 weeks off the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, they don't get to plan their vacation. They have to take it then. And then there are the in-service days when they have to go in and the kids are off. There's probably like 5 of those.
Yeah.
I know, it's tough. It's tough.
It's not, yeah, I love teachers. I have a bunch of friends that are teachers. I have family members that are teachers. Some of my favorite people were my teachers, but they do get.
Let's sort of come to the middle on this.
They get about 3 months of vacation.
And say, teachers have a very difficult job. It's not easy being a teacher. They're compensated with a lot of time away from the children. And if they've been a teacher for a while, they make a decent living, which is fair. They should make a decent living. And they get a lot of vacation time. How much vacation time do you get, Jason?
How many holidays are there?
I'm not counting holidays.
Oh, 5.
You have 5 weeks of vacation?
No, I get 1 week.
You get 1 week of vacation.
Yeah.
Kareem, how much vacation you get?
10 days.
I get 3 weeks.
And that's not even vacation. That's 10 days of vacation and sick time.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, then I get 4 weeks. See? Pile on. I'll take it. But that's the whole thing. There are good and bad parts of every job. Quit being jealous. Hey, a big thank you to the DPW workers who cleaned the roads during Christmas. Excellent job. My family got to our destination with no problems. I appreciate you where others don't. Thank you. Now it's time for a real problem. City code requires residents to shovel and salt their walks. Why is Public Works not enforcing this law? Public Works is the responsible agency, and they're not doing their job concerning this matter. Hey, maybe the counselors who earn their paychecks bringing up in meetings issues of whether circus animals should be allowed here while putting down people who go out in cold weather to pick up trash. Maybe they could go out on a real day's work with us. Said the angry trash man.
Don't be mad at them because you chose to be a trash man.
I received an early Christmas present from the wonderful city of Plattsburgh. My monthly garbage rates are now being increased. I guess I should expect a letter stating my water and sewer rates are rising too. Or is that another backdoor tax grab plan for next year? Call it what it is, a tax increase. Of course, these increases will continue, along with annual tax increases above the state mandate, as long as residents sit on their hands. Time for a tax action committee. Tax action committee. Better yet, it's about time the city goes into receivership. Maybe then we'll have true professionals running it.
Wow. Like, hoping to see everything burn, that's pretty much the definition of it. Like,
burn, Hollywood, burn.
I voted for Donald Trump.
Burn, Plattsburgh, burn.
And finally, clearly the person who wrote about the teachers has no teaching experience and is uneducated and resentful. There is no more important job in this country than that of a teacher. In every other country, it's the most highly respected position, and people would never dream of showing the disrespect you've shown. It is clear how out of touch you are with every teacher's reality. You have no clue what all they do and are up against. They are the most underpaid professionals out there, considering all they do. Free benefits they don't deserve? Really? Despite the pay, teachers press on because they are called on to make a difference in the world. And for children who otherwise would have no one but parents, well, like you! A lot of venom going through the speak out column.
I wonder if, like, that person that did the last one, like, talking about, like, if like they work at the paper and they read that and, like, they're like, I just have to put my own one in.
No, I think the paper combined multiple things into one online thing.
I see.
All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Back on Friday with another new one. We'll see you then. Bye bye.